I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. Tonight I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. The guy who claims he just don't believe the fact. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fight inside of me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fight inside of me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. That's the name of this program. Here on AltRightTV.com or WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. Of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, let me start off by playing something that is kind of happy, because I've got a lot of nasty news to share with you a little later on. But this is a song called Keep America Great, and it's recorded by two very pretty young girls who I think are from Oklahoma. It was recorded prior to Donald Trump's rally in Oklahoma there a couple of weeks ago. You'll love the sentiments, and I'm sure you'll love these two very pretty, very spirited young ladies, this is a pro-Trump girl band, performs Keep America Great ahead of the rally in Tulsa. There, I guess it was a, you know, about nothing.
Here you go. Okay, it's called Keep America Great.
It's Camille and Haley.
Keep America Great. Keep America Great. Freedom we won, keep America great. There will never be another USA. Freedom won't come back if we give it away. It's time to vote, it's time to pray. Join as one, let me hear you say, go Trump 2020, go Trump 2020.
I think that's just delightful. I want to thank Jerry, one of my longtime friends, my gosh, going back back to 1968, for passing this on to me. This is... I'm trying to get this. I mentioned yesterday that three Black Lives Matter people had been arrested for vandalizing monuments and statues in Canada. In Toronto over the weekend. The Sir John A. Macdonald, he was Canada's first Prime Minister statue at Queen's Park. The statue of Egerton Ryerson, who was the founder of the education system, public education system in the province of Ontario, and actually gave his name to the university, Ryerson University, from which some of these Black Lives Matter leaders come from, believe it or not, and also the statue of King Edward VII. This is just mad mayhem. Sir John A. Macdonald had almost nothing to do with blacks. The knock against him is that he started the residential school system. Well, that was an effort by the Dominion government to educate young Indians, to try to bring these young Indians, many of them who are from migratory tribes, from the Stone Age, to the edge of the 19th, or later on the 20th century, in one generation. As with any ambitious undertaking, yes, I'm sure there were problems. There were, of course, individual cases of sexual abuse and violence against some of the Native students, as there were in even in pricey boarding schools. And then these stories come out from time to time. And with the victims being white kids. So, but those are two separate things. Now, of course, the residential school system, it's now politically correct boilerplate to say what a horrible thing it was. Anytime you take children for 9 months of the year from their families, it is difficult. And as it is for white kids going to boarding schools, too. The question is never answered by the numerous critics is what the government was supposed to do. Now, they could have simply adopted a policy of benign neglect. In areas where there was a fair concentration of Indians, where they were close to large gatherings, as happened in some places in Ontario and in Quebec, there could be a school system, a day system run for them. But that was not always practical. They could have been the subject of benign neglect. Just silly leave them. If their parents can, get things together the way the white parents did in neighboring communities and organize a one-room school, okay. If they couldn't, well, that's okay too. Okay, well, benign neglect was not a adequate response, then the residential school system was a well-meaning and very often effective response. Anyway, so John A. McDonald is blamed for that. I don't think we should have to defend our national heroes, or people who played a key role in the development of the country. You can, of course, critique their policies, and of course, and hindsight is 2020, and imposing the cultural values of some today on a bygone era. You could come up with all sorts of critiques. But the fact is, we put up these monuments not because these men, or in some cases women, were saints. Maybe the odd one was, but because of their contribution to the country. Well, okay, the wrecking crew was damaging them over the weekend, and three were arrested, and rightly so. The Charles Sun story says police overreacted when they arrested and charged three people after three statues were defaced, say, but Black Lives Matter. Well, yeah, it was their people who were arrested for being vandals. Black Lives spokesman Rodney Diverlis, a Ryerson University undergrad, said not arrested, not held for 17 hours, not put into a criminal justice system, said Diverlis, one of several speakers. I'm not even sure what he's talking about. Not arrested. Well, they were arrested. But sometimes these people are pretty hard to understand. All the pomp and circumstance we saw Saturday from all the police, all the theatrics about pink paint, what sort of action that white kids have been doing across the city and across this time, country for time immemorial, and celebrate for what white kids are not being celebrated for damaging public statues. Three people charged: Daniel Gooch, 35, Danielle Smith, 47, and Jenna Reed, 35. They were kept for 17 hours and were later released. This actually does not tell us a whole lot. Now there are calls from some lawyers and others to have these to have the charges dropped. And at the height of the tense situation, three members of the provincial parliament showed up at 52 Division, including Toronto Centre MPP Susie Morrison, who claimed police told her lawyers were not allowed into the building due to the COVID-19. Well, I'm afraid we're going to hear a lot of that. COVID-19 is being used to excuse all sorts of things. Councillor Josh Milo tweeted that he went to 52 Division and said he watched as the detainee's lawyer was denied access to their clients. Well, they did get to see, the lawyer did get to see them. What I witnessed today was not only a learning experience, it was deeply disturbing. This can't go on this way. We have a responsibility to change this. We shall change this. This is about a basic and reasonable expectation of justice and access to legal representation. Well, they did get access to legal representation. Anyway, it's really incredible what has gone on. And of course, there are some people saying the police should drop the charges. Absolutely not. I heard this tag team on 1010 Talk Radio this afternoon. They talk about the issues of the day, and this was one of the ones they discussed. And one of them was saying that he completely understood the passion of these demonstrators, And it'd be a big mistake to ignore their message. And he was in favor, he was not in favor of dropping the charges. He thought this was civil disobedience, and if they get a small fine, that's the price they are obviously willing to, or should be willing to pay for it if they're prepared to break the law because of their passion and their belief. But on the other hand, we as a society have to start paying attention to what they're saying. Well, actually, much of what they're saying is incoherent and gobbledygook. They're saying Canada's systemically racist. And you know, this has got to be called systemically racist. That's, against non-whites, particularly blacks. How is that so? You or your parents almost certainly came here as immigrants. Now, that's not true of all Canadian blacks. Some were here from the end of the Revolutionary War. But in general, especially in Ontario, most of these are either immigrants themselves or the children of immigrants. And in the words of grim little Greta Thunberg, we should be throwing it right back at them. How dare you? How dare you say this about a country that let your people in? It was not our traditional policy. Canada had essentially, up until 1963, 4, and 5, a Europeans-only immigration policy. Yeah, I mean, Americans, of course, but Europeans. Okay. It was changed, I think, catastrophically, but it was changed. Your people came in. Now, your people chose to come here. And will you call this a white supremacist society? The words don't mean anything. If this was white supremacist, you wouldn't be here. That's the bottom line. But you are. And how dare you trash our history? It's our history. The history you or your parents chose to come, of a country you chose to come to. Nobody dragged you here. You could have stayed in the black-run countries you came from. Why didn't you? Well, because as Donald Trump has said so eloquently, and he's really gotten slammed for this, they were shithole countries. Yeah, you hadn't done that well running them, had you? So you wanted to come here. And that is a recognition of our superiority. I'm not saying we're superior. You are. Your parents were, when they chose to come here. So how dare you trash the history of the country that you chose to come to because it was better? How dare you? Now, these chattering heads on the radio were going on about, well, we have to listen to these people. And maybe it's time to take these statues down. No way. This is our history. It's not the end of the story, though. History is forever, or our story. Excuse me, it's forever developing. And there will be new heroes, new events, new challenges that are met, and outstanding people emerge, and as time goes on, as we develop a bit of perspective, we want to honor them too. And that's totally normal. So you don't have to trash yesterday in order to recognize other people. New roads will be named after new people and their achievements. Perhaps new monuments or statues will be raised to people. And that's entirely proper. So you don't have to destroy the past, trash the past, to have a developing and different outcome. That's just the normal course of history. in the pre Confederation era of the various British colonies in Canada, in, let's say, 1850, who would have thought of raising a statue to Sir John A. Macdonald, who became our first Prime Minister? He was then just a rising politician and lawyer. Of course, nobody. Time moves on, achievements are made, and a new era looks back at where how we got to where we are today, and we honor that. That doesn't mean we have to destroy what went before, but we add to it. And that's normal, and that's healthy. And that's about as far as I think I'd be prepared to go. Well, we are living in a time of madness, and I'm not the only one to say this. I have taken a strong stand against compulsory masks. I've taken a lot of garbage for that, a lot of abuse, especially on Twitter. I don't care. I'm not the only one. In fact, I'm a minor player compared to this very gutsy lady, Leticia Montana, and some of her adventures and the abuse she has taken. And the death calls. I've actually had several people on Twitter hoping Leticia and I end up on ventilators end up with COVID, well, depending on the curse, end up on ventilators and die, or end up with COVID and are denied medical help. And I say, I don't care. And that's largely true. I mean, I'm not going to shut down, take to my bed, weep, go into a fetal position, hold myself. No, I'm not a snowflake or a soy boy. It bothers me a little bit, only because of the vehemence. The various people of this type, there might be a half dozen who made these, depending on what you want to label, you want to put on them, curses or threats. None of them know me personally. None of them know me from a hole in the ground. And it was solely because of my stance for freedom and Leticia's stance for freedom. And this is the reaction is typical of the fanaticism of the Wrecking Crew, the cultural Marxists. You see, it's not enough to say, you're wrong, I disagree with you for all of these reasons, or you're an idiot, but your position is ridiculous. Well, I'd say that's fair enough. You don't have to agree. But that's not enough. It's not enough to denounce or to criticize, and criticism is perfectly all right. That's what genuine discussion and debate are about. What I find appalling is the reaction that says, because you have deviated from the gospel of cultural Marxism, on whatever it might be, you may say criticizing Black Lives Matter, and that's destroyed several people, prominent people in this country, from the latest, from the medical dictatorship. And I say the latest because, frankly, I don't know that they know whether they're coming or going, at least the official word we keep hearing. Don't forget about masks. Back in March and April, the China woman, our chief medical officer of health, Theresa Tam, was saying masks didn't do any good. Masks are not effective, because that's what the WHO had said. And she's the mouthpiece for the WHO. Okay, well, that was the position then. And then gradually the position, we're not talking about years of research, we're talking about weeks. Gradually the position changed from, well, masks may be helpful, to masks are advisable, to you must wear a mask or the police will beat you up. Now, wait a sec, and then we're told, this is science. This is what the science says. I've got to say, it's nonsense. Anyway, if you deviate from that, it's not enough to say, you're wrong. I hear I've got some arguments to show that masks are great. Oh, okay, I have a problem. Fair enough. You know, there are certainly two sides to this issue. I should say there probably are many sides to the mask issue. But fine, I have no problem with someone disagreeing with me or even dismissing me. But the idea that you must be destroyed, and this is part and parcel of the cultural Marxist revolution that's going on in our society. And it is a revolution. This isn't a debate or discussion among sincere citizens who sincerely disagree, maybe even vehemently disagree. No, this is, if you disagree with me, I want you destroyed. And that's happened to some of the people who've taken mildly dissenting views on the Black Lives Matter issue. Then destruction, well, they can't yet do what the Red Guards did in Red China. They can't drag you out and beat you to death. But, okay, they ruin you economically. You're fired. And this has happened, and I've ticked off these incidents repeatedly. You're gone. There's a black football player named Christian, like Christian, but I-O-N, Christian at what the Edmonton Eskimos a little over a week ago on Twitter, in response to some sort of LGBTQ issue, he said, and this is from memory, but something like, man go with woman go with man. That's what he said. And you say, well, like, okay, yeah, that's maybe not profound, but that's the way of the world. That's the way it's always been. And most people, most religions say, yeah, marriage, proper human sexual relations are men and women. Other relations are aberrations, you know. Two women, two men, man and goat. Well, what the Negro football player said was not especially revolutionary. He's fired. He's gone. Purged. And that's the utter intolerance of a religion. It is almost a religion of cultural Marxism. That itself often blathers on about a tolerant society. It's not a tolerant society. Anyway, the latest betrayal of white Canadians. Business leaders pledge support for this campaign called Black North against anti-black racism. Okay. CEOs representing more than 200 Canadian organizations, including three of Canada's big banks, have signed up to support Black North Initiative against systemic racism. A list of the signatories was released Monday for an online summit of Canadian business leaders who pledged to create conditions to support the success of members of the black community. The Black North Initiative is led by Wes Hall, executive chairman and founder of Kingsgate Advisors, which advises many of Canada's publicly traded companies. Anti-black systemic racism has to end. As business leaders, we must be aware that systemic racism has a material effect on our business, our black employees, and their families. He said that even though he's a successful black businessman, he and his family can't avoid the effect of systemic racism. Just wait a second here. Here we've got, not all, but some of the leading lights of this this campaign, this Black North Initiative, are themselves colored. He's black. There's a guy named Prem Watsa, who I believe is East Indian, who's a big noise in this thing too. Again, how dare they? Systemic racism, but look who you are. You're a leading business leader. If this was such a systemically racist society, you wouldn't be there. You'd be carrying out the garbage or pushing the coffee wagon. this is Abzu Nerve accusing us of racism, of systemic racism. And some of these other silly billy companies that have jumped on board, pleading guilty to systemic racism. Well, they ought to fire themselves. I mean, if they're saying that their company is systemically racist, and that's supposedly a really bad thing, well, why don't then they're guilty? No, I'm not guilty. They say they're guilty. Canadian business is systemically racist. So that's what they say. Well, you're part of Canadian business. Why don't you fire yourself? This is, of course, a further attack on whites. So they're going to let's see what they want to deal with systemic racism and one example. It's enough to break your heart. He says, I live in a nice neighborhood and the repairman comes to my house and he would say, go get Mr. Hall, please. So he thinks that Mr. Hall is, you know, maybe some of the hired staff, not the boss. So that breaks his heart. Destroys his life, this little mistake. What's the repairman thinking? Well, the repairman thinks this is a largely white neighborhood, and most of the people here who are well off are white, and this seems to be an aberration. And yes, I suppose it's possible that the owner is black, because he probably didn't recognize Hall. He's not a football star or a basketball star who'd be black and rich and therefore living in the neighborhood. This tiny, half-comical error, whom did it hurt? Anyway, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Well, yes. Diversity in the workplace is imperative. Now, this is an article in today's Globe and Mail. And this is by a Ron Close. He provides leadership, apparently, for venture startups and so on. And he says there have to be goals to promote. And this is not enough to hire non-whites, and particularly blacks, but to promote them. And here's another collaborator, a anti-white collaborator. And let's call it what it is. He's the CEO of the Toronto Dominion Bank. Bharat Masrani. Wait a sec. Well, he's not black. My guess as a linguist is that he's actually Iranian, but okay. He pledged to boost minority executive representation across the company by 50% by 2025. and the leader previously vowed to double its share of black executives by 2022. According to a memo by Mr. Masrani, if TD reaches its targets, visible minority staff would make up more than 25% of the bank's leaders. By, I guess, 2025. Now, this deliberate promotion of non-whites, but I guess particularly blacks, would end up with 25% of the leadership being non-white. Well, their share of Canada's population right now is 22%. So by stacking the deck against qualified whites, The TD Bank, if it reaches its goal, will have a disproportionate number of its executives non-white. So, well, the title of the article here is "Diversity in the Workplace is Imperative." You know, gotta have it. Let's be quite clear. If your company, the company you work for, has embraced diversity, it has embraced a system that will disadvantage you and your children, if your children wish to work for that company. Diversity is a code word for white replacement. And, you know, tiptoeing through the numbers there, the goals of the TD Bank, if they succeed, achieve their goals within 5 years, appear to be their time limit, a disproportionate number of their executives will be non-white, which means who loses out? Yeah, that's you, or your children, or other white people. And this has to be clearly understood. Now, and more than that, it must be protested. All sorts of companies and institutions in their mission statement or core values, I hate that term, go on about diversity. They're committed to diversity. And I think when we hear that, it's important to start firing back. You mean white replacement. You mean you're against me and my family. We've got to make it personal. It's about me. Now, I had an incident today. We've got this medical police state. Many of our municipalities in Canada have dutifully signed on, insisting on masks in indoor gatherings, so you don't get into a grocery store or whatever. And I have found, and this is the advice of people like Dr. James Sears, reading the laws, these bylaws carefully, there are exceptions for, well, like, say, people under two. Well, I'm not under two. people who cannot physically put on a mask. Well, I could put on a mask. And people who are have a medical condition that makes it ill-advised. Well, that's the loophole. Now, you know, I could argue with a business owner and say, you know, on a matter of principle, on a matter of science, quite frankly, this is bullshit. Especially if we're supposed to social distance, you know, just keep 6 feet apart, and that's fairly practical in most of these places. And when you are a little bit more up close and personal, when you're checking out your groceries, there's a plastic shield between you and the checkout girl. So masks are superfluous at best. I can make all those arguments, but they don't care. And so what you have to do is you have to make it personal. And it takes some courage. Because, you know, you will get singled out. There are lots of sheeples there. And when you're the goat, you walk in and you're not wearing a mask, some of the sheeples will give you a dirty stare. Well, that's okay. You've got to be prepared to stare right back. But, you know, what you're having to say is, I've got a medical condition. I can't wear a mask. And that's part of the war we're fighting. But I guess my point here is, it's got to be personal. Diversity sounds like is a warm, fuzzy in term today. You know, it's a good, our company's all for diversity. Let's make it quite clear what that really means. It's anti-white. And this other, just end with something further from the article by this Ron Close, who says diversity in the workplace is imperative. He says, one answer will be to populate entry roles today with women and visible minorities giving them access to the career ladder through which they can gain the experience needed for future leadership. While we may wish to, we had started this 30 years ago, now is not too late, nor is it enough. I suspect some of this wrecking crew will never be happy until the only white man left in the company, if I'm not sure whether this Ron Close is white or not, but if he is white, the only person white person left in the company is them, and they're on their way out. Let's be very, very clear about diversity. It means replacement of you. And if not you, of your children and your grandchildren. Well, I'm going to take my musical break right now, and I'm going to play from a CD I've been playing for a little while here, and it's some of the great hits from the Grand Ole Opry in the 1970s, included Great Ear of Tamlin, Marty Robbins, and Jim Reeves. I hope you like it here. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the Fighting Side of Me.
Miss Loretta Lynn.
Let's make a welcome day.
Help me forget so fast.
table by a bandstand, a bottle filled with wine. Honky-tonks were made for men with women on their mind. Nothing else can take away this loneliness of mine. Bright lights, bright lights, and country music. Bright lights and country music. A bottle and a glass. Soon I'll be forgetting that there ever was a man. Everybody asks me what helped me forget so fast. I'll say, bright lights and country music. I love those bright lights and country music.
Every once in a while, a song comes out that really warps your mind, you know, that puts chills up your arms and your legs, and you scratch, you know, every once in a while. And the little lady who sings this song records for Epic Records. Would you make welcome Miss Tammy Wynette, ladies and gentlemen?
Today I sat alone at the window, and I watched our little girl outside play. The little boy next door, like so many times before, but something didn't seem quite right today. So I went outside to see what they were doing.
Here's a young lady that I know you'll want to put your hands together for. She's had hit records all around the world, and she's singing her biggest one called The End of the World. A nice Grand Ole Opry welcome for Skeeter Davis.
Oh,
Singing her big hit record of Once a Day, let's welcome Miss Connie Smith.
Until now. That was the lovely Connie Smith. This is Paul Frohm, and I'm signing off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Frohm, and you're on the fighting side of me.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. Now extends from Cape Race.